Hymn number one. We'll sing all three verses of this hymn. Number one. And let us sing.
To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The last offender who truly obeyed, that no man may enter the heavenly way. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be the our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
For our opening prayer this morning, if you would please, turn your hymn book to hymn number 538. That's 538. And we're saying all three verses of this hymn, 538. Let's sing.
My Jesus knows when I am lonely. He knows each pain. He sees each tear. He understands each lonely heartache. Because he cares, my Jesus knows just what I need. Oh yes, he knows just what I need. He's satisfied, and every need supplied. Yes, he knows just what I need. My Jesus knows when I am burdened. He knows how much my heart can bear. He lifts me up when I am sinking and brings me joy beyond compare. My Jesus knows just what I need. Oh Yes, he knows just what I need. He satisfies and every need supplies. Yes, he knows just what I need. When other friends seem to forget me, when skies are dark, when hope is gone, by faith I feel His arms about me, and hear Him say, "You're not alone. My Jesus knows just what I need. Yes, he knows just what I need. He satisfies and every need supplies. Yes, he knows just what I need. My Jesus knows just what I need. Just what I need. He satisfies and every need supplies. Yes, he knows just what I
Let us bow. Our Father who art in heaven, we are so grateful and so thankful, Father, that we woke up this morning, and we thank you for all of the opportunities that we will have on this day. We're grateful and thankful that we can give you praise, to give you honor and to give you glory, thanking you for being our Heavenly Father, thanking you, Father, for taking care of all our needs day by day, and the many blessings and the prosperity that you've bestowed upon each and every one of us. We thank you, Father, for this avenue of communication, the privilege that we have to pray, to talk to you through prayer, to let you know, Father, how much we appreciate you. Thanking you, Father, that you loved us so much, that you demonstrated your love for all of mankind by allowing your Son, Christ Jesus, to die on the cross for the sins of the world. We thank you, Father, for the redemption we have in His blood, the reconciliation we have back unto you. We're grateful and thankful, Father, that we can live our life according to Thy will and not our own. Father, we extend this heartfelt prayer to the many precious souls that are on our prayer list. We're grateful and thankful that you are all-knowing God. And day by day, Lord, you know their wills and you know their needs. We know, Father, that you said in your own word that when our burdens become heavy laden, that we can depend on you to give us rest. And we pray, Father, that this morning, those that are in your needs and your tender mercy will seek and draw strength from your word. And Father, we thank you for the lesson that Brother Greg has prepared. We pray, Father, that we'll keep an open mind and we'll listen tentatively. And we'll be able, Lord, to draw strength from the lesson that he has prepared. And we pray, Father, that as we enter into this worship service, that we will speak from our hearts. We will sing songs and make melody, and that you will be satisfied with all that we say and all that we do. For it is in Jesus' name we give you praise, we give you honor and glory. Amen.
Bear in mind, we're taking the Lord's Supper this morning. If you would, please. Can you hymn book hymn number 330? 330. We'll sing all three verses. Yes, sir. 330.
Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble fold? Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, because he loved me so. Why did he drink a bitter cup of sorrow, pain, and woe? Why on the cross he lifted up? Because he loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, because he loved till Jesus of thou sing his praise, and then to glory go, and reign with him through endless day, because he loved me so. He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, because he loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, because he loved me.
as we gather together every first day of the week, and as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper, when we mention Jesus' death on a cross, we never say that his life was taken. You can read in John 10 that Jesus made mention of that no man had the power to take his life, that he willingly gave his life. You know, he had power beyond any of our imaginations. And when you really, really sit there and think about that, even though this world was full of sin, so much cruelty, so much hatred, you know, even the people that wanted to believe that they were taking his life, that our Lord and Savior loved this world, that he did not want us to suffer the punishment that we all deserved from our sins. That he said, I'm going to give my life to give each and every one of us that hope of salvation. So this is an opportunity for us to come together to just show our gratitude, our appreciation to our Lord and Savior for that sacrifice that he made on each and every one of our behalves. You know, we have before us, we have the two emblems. We have the bread, which represents his body. We have the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you. Thank you, thankful unto you for allowing us to gather together, to come together for another worship service unto you, Heavenly Father, to be able to come together with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to come together on this first day of the week, Heavenly Father. To all sit here, to all reflect on that sacrifice, Heavenly Father, that sacrifice that you made on our behalf. We all know, Heavenly Father, that you were pure, you were without sin, Heavenly Father, that you didn't deserve that death on the cross. But to know that you gave your life because you loved each and every one of us to give us that hope and salvation, Heavenly Father. And we just pray at this time, as we're about to partake of this bread, which represents thy body, that we'll do so in a manner that it be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the cup. Lord, we thank you that we are able to partake of this blood, this fruit of the vine, which washes us clean. Father, we thank you of the sacrifice that it took, that we might be able to commune with you, to love you, to be able to remember you each and every first day of the week. Father, of such love you could never be worthy, and we know this. But it's through your Son's saving grace that we're able to commune with you now. We give thanks, Lord. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
If anyone has been overlooked during the partaking of the Lord's Supper, if you raise your hand. Seeing no hands, another portion of our worship service, which is giving. And once again, this is an opportunity for us to really reflect on the, not just the physically putting money into the collection trays, but to make sure that our hearts and our minds are in the right place as we do so, to give back in a proper manner. So at this time, let us give thanks for the opportunity to give. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for thy continuing to bless each and every one of us, Heavenly Father. You know, to give us all these opportunities to bless us with this beautiful world, that this beautiful creation that you have made for us, Heavenly Father, to, you know, just thank you for our health and for our sound minds, and to just have the ability to go out and to be able to provide for our loved ones, Heavenly Father. We're just so thankful for this opportunity to give back, you know, help with the needs of this building, Heavenly Father, to continue the work of this congregation. And we pray that as we give back, that we'll do so in a manner that it be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Mark the hymn book, hymn number 925. 9 to 5 will be the song of invitation this morning. 925. After marking that hymn, if you would please, Turn your hymn book over to hymn number 392. That's 392. We sing all three verses of this hymn, as all those who can easily stand, please stand at this time. 392. And let us sing.
If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look for faith and see it, my friend, trust in His promises grand. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust Him who leads you, He will keep your soul. Let us be faithful, look to Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise Him in soul. Sing and be happy today. Often we are troubled and tired, sick with sorrow and pain. There are others living in sin, blessed with earthly gain. Take new courage, we cannot tell what tomorrow may bring. When the dark clouds vanish away, then your heart truly can see. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust Him who leads you, He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful to Him and pray. Let your voice and praise Him in song. Sing and be happy today. Oft we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's sky. When it sees the fortress of earth round and pass us by, there are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust in each day, we shall have pleasures untold. So sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust Him who leads you, He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise Him in song. Sing and be happy today. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust Him who leads you, He will keep your soul. Let us be faithful to Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise Him in song. Sing and be happy today.
You may be seated.
Again, the sermon title to today's lesson is Today is a Gift. And the scripture is taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places
in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Brother Shriver.
Morning, church. It's been a while since I've spoke up here. I probably, I don't know, 4 years or so. But bear with me. I've got I had some problems with the computer here, but I think I'm all right. So first off, I'd like to welcome any and all guests we have here at the congregation this morning. I want you to know that you are our honored guest, and thank you for being here. So this morning, I want to talk to you about something that I call a gift, and I got this from inspiration, kind of came from a sign that's hanging up in the garage at Wanda Sizemore's house. I go there every week, sometimes more than once a week, and I see it every time I'm in the garage. It says, "Today is a gift." And I believe this was part of a quote from Eleanor Roosevelt that said, "Tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift." That is why it is called the present. It's kind of a short, sweet expression that's easy to understand and appreciate, but it's also the inspiration for the subject matter this morning, which is the gift of salvation. For now, I want to take a closer look at verse 8 from the scripture reading, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." If you look at this verse closely, it's a very short verse, but just in this verse we hear three of the most important words found in the New Testament: grace, saved, and faith. Likewise, there are three components to this phrase. If we were to put it into a sentence, right, a diagram like you might have done in a grade school, you can see the relationships of these components. First, by grace is a prepositional phrase that refers to why we are saved. Second, are ye saved is a verb phrase that describes the verb are saved, and the word ye describes who are saved. Thirdly, through faith describes how we are saved. If we put it all together, for by grace are ye saved through faith tells us that because of God's grace, why, he saved us, who, through our faith, how. Now, I think some of you might have heard this expression. It's called never look the gift horse in the mouth. This expression, I know, started years ago. Because at the time, whenever this started, hundreds of years ago probably, it was not uncommon to receive a horse as a gift. Now, a horse's teeth grow over time. And so, by checking the length of the teeth, you can better determine the age of the horse. Obviously, the longer the teeth, the older the horse. But if you were gifted a horse by someone and you were to start checking the length of the teeth, you're basically saying to the gift giver, I don't trust you. Nowadays, horses are not very common gifts, but the expression can easily be applied towards any gift we receive at any time, under any circumstance, no matter the occasion. The point is, we shouldn't find fault or be ungrateful when we're given something as a gift or a favor by another person. If you receive something you don't like or you're not going to use, there's other options such as regifting. But you don't want to make the gift giver feel embarrassed or ashamed just because you receive something that doesn't meet your expectations or your standards. But we cannot say the same thing about salvation. Did we really expect a better gift from God? Should we ask for more? Are we going to question God and say, the salvation thing is okay, but I was looking for something else? What gift can possibly be better than salvation? Do we take this gift for granted, just as we take each and every day for granted? Our salvation was not paid with cash. It was not paid with a credit card. It was not paid with a check or a money order. Nor is there a salvation app on your phone that will give you this gift. There is not a layaway plan or 0% financing, nor are there monthly fees or data limits. Salvation is absolutely free to you and me. But what makes salvation such a great and perfect gift? Because of the price that was paid for it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 of 1 Corinthians, Paul said, "Ye are bought with a price." The price that was paid was his own blood. In Acts 20, verse 28, it reads, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Also in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, Jesus' blood is called precious. Jesus paid a price he did not owe. He paid it all. To be clear, salvation is not a paycheck you earn. You earn a paycheck. You don't earn a gift. But salvation is a gift you receive. What paycheck have we earned from God? Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." I don't know about you, but I do not want to earn death from God. I do, however, want his gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. God's salvation comes to those who are lost and come to understand that their only hope is found not in anything they have done, but in what God has already done for them. Salvation is God's gift to the undeserving. Romans 5, verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This isn't because we love God, but because God loves us, as told in 1 John 4:9-10. Furthermore, Revelations 21:6 and 22:17 tells us this gift is offered to all who will receive it. Now, there's a hymn we used to sing here, and I was going to have Brother Hank sing it, called "Salvation Has Been Brought Down." I know most of you are familiar with this. And I asked him to sing it, and he said, "It's not in our songbooks." So we won't be able to hear it today, but I know most of you have heard this song, are very familiar with it. But some of the verses in there, right to the point, as you'll see. It goes, "Tell it to the world around, tell it today to people in sorrow, tell it today and tell it tomorrow. Tell the lost, all the lost, salvation is full and free to sinners." Now, thankfully, we cannot re-gift salvation, but you can, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:20, be ministers of reconciliation and ambassadors for Christ, telling the world they have been reconciled to God in Christ. Reconciliation comes to us as a gift. God initiates this process and God reconciles us and makes us new in Christ. This gift from God is one we must receive willingly in order to really, truly change our lives. Grace is the unmerited, free favor of God expressed toward guilty and unworthy sinners. Paul comes right out and says that our salvation is not from yourself, it is God's gift, not from works. Grace also provides salvation. How? Looking again at Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Do another English lesson here, and the three prepositions we should keep in mind, and it's quite easy to see the relationship of faith and good works. You are saved by grace, through faith, for good works. One of the earliest examples of this can be found in the Old Testament book of Genesis. Now Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, Genesis 6:6-8. Noah also had to take that step through faith, in Genesis 7, 1, the Lord tells Noah to go into the ark, you and all your household. This is also a reference in Hebrews 11, 7. Noah was saved for good works. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Genesis 9, 1. There's a commentary from Matthew Henry that sums up the verse from the scripture reading best. I'm going to read that in full. I'm not going to paraphrase it because I couldn't really make it sound much better. So I'm going to read this as it was written. Every converted sinner is a saved sinner. Such are delivered from sin and wrath. They are brought into a state of salvation and have a right given them by grace to eternal happiness. The grace that saves them is the free, undeserved goodness and favor of God. And he saves them not by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, by means of which they come to partake of the great blessings of the gospel. And both that faith and that salvation on which it has so great an influence are the gift of God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 3, we are asked, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If we reject salvation, there is no escape, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Hebrews 10:27. Salvation is so great because those who are obedient to the plan are granted freedom from sin. Romans 6:18. The plan also includes faith. Romans 10:17, repentance, Acts 17:30, and confession, Matthew 1:32-33, and baptism, Acts 2:38. Each of the Godhead gives us a gift. We have the gift of God, the gift of Christ, and the gift of the Spirit. The gift of God, we are justified as a gift by God's grace and through the death of Jesus Christ. We read that in Romans 3:23-26. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. We also have the gift of Christ. Ephesians 4:7-13 tells us that grace is Christ's gift to us. In verse 11 it reads, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. I read just that verse because we don't necessarily think of these special servants when mentioned in reference to the church as being gifts given to us by Christ. But in this verse, I think it helps everyone recognize that the work and the function of God's church is his doing alone. Even those who are foundational leaders of the church were not and are not the reason for its unity or growth. Just as salvation itself is referred to as grace and a gift, so the unity and successful work of God's church is grace and is made possible only through his gifts. The gift of the Spirit. In Ephesians 1:13-14, this is the guarantee or certainty of our salvation. It reads, in whom ye also, having heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having also believed ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is an earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of God's own possession, unto the praise of his glory. You've all heard the expression, nothing in life is free. This might be true when it comes to our everyday needs and wants. But regardless, you can't take any of that with you when you go. Doesn't matter what you earned at your job or your retirement, if you won the lottery. I don't care how many cars you have. I don't care. It doesn't matter. None of these material things matter because you're not going to take it with you. But you can and you do need salvation. That's all you need. However, salvation is free to you and me. But there was a high cost paid by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Very costly. It cost God more than heaven can declare. It cost Jesus the suffering and shame of the cross. It cost the Holy Spirit, who seeks to cultivate you through the gospel. It's important to realize that many people do not understand the concept of obtaining salvation. And there's a common theme amongst many, including some Christians, who think that their salvation is earned solely by their good works. It is a belief that their reward in heaven will be obtained because they led a good life. They were faithful attendees at worship and Bible study. They made substantial financial contributions to the church. But in Acts 2:38-39, Peter said that we must repent and be baptized. In return, we can receive forgiveness of sins or salvation, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit. We should thank God for his unspeakable gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says this. And knowing the greatness of the gift of Christ, we will never lose sight of the gift and value of salvation. The means of our salvation has been made available to us. We just have to follow God's instructions. If you are not a Christian, but if you desire to become one, God has provided us with the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, and now your part is to receive that gift. You've heard the word this morning. You now have the opportunity by coming forward, confessing your faith, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, and being baptized in the immersion of water. If you are already a faithful follower of the church, or if you need the prayers of the church, please come forward as we stand to sing a song of invitation.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Think that higher things that are over, the eternal Lord my heart. I have been a faithful Thank you.
This morning, we certainly want to thank our brother Greg Shriver for bringing us that lesson today. I told him the excellent job. He's always done a wonderful job whenever he brought us a lesson. We are thankful. And good to see everybody here today, especially all of our visitors. Certainly hope that this service was uplifting and rewarding for you. Please remember all of our sick. Keep them in prayer, please. I did not receive any visitors' cards today, but we do have some visitors, so we're happy to have you with us today. We want everyone to enjoy the holiday tomorrow. Stay safe. Keep everyone in prayer. I think our brother Charles Hopkins Jr. is going to bring us our closing prayer. Thank you.
Shall we pray? Our most kind, loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to live another day, Heavenly Father, for waking us from our beds this morning, Heavenly Father, giving us the opportunity to enjoy the beauty of this world, Heavenly Father, the opportunity to continue to do thy will, Heavenly Father, to come together and to be able to gather with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, Heavenly Father. And we're so thankful for the lesson that was shared with us this morning. So thankful and appreciate the time that our brother Greg Shriver put into this lesson, Heavenly Father. And we pray that which we have learned today, that we should apply that to our daily lives. We pray that you continue to be with the leaders of this congregation. They continue to tend to the needs of this building, to the needs of this congregation, to keep us safe, healthy, to assure that our worship service is according to thy will, Heavenly Father. And we're just thankful, Heavenly Father, that to know that you will continue to comfort us, that we don't truly have to worry, Heavenly Father, about anything, Heavenly Father, so we know that you will continue to be by our sides, Heavenly Father, that we have this avenue of prayer, that we can come to you with any problem that we face, Heavenly Father. We pray that also that you would be with those that are traveling, that you would keep them safe as they travel to and from their destination, that you will continue to watch over us, keep us safe during this week, Heavenly Father. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.